If you remember the marriage seminar we gave last year sometime, the last element as we were talking about things that cause a marriage to be one and make us one was the subject of trust. When we were given the seminar in Oakland, one lady put her hand up and said, now you're talking about trusting your mate, talking about being trustworthy, but the Bible says trust no man. So how do you explain that? How do you explain trust no man, and yet we talk about trusting in a marriage or one another? Does it mean only trust women when it says trust no man? I don't think that's what it means either. How many of you have, a lot of people use this trust no man to separate themselves from religion and say, well, it says trust no man, and that man, men are head of religions, so we won't trust them. How many of you are familiar with the scripture that says trust no man? So, some have stated they will never trust another human being and only trust God because of things that have happened in their lives. And the Bible says, trust no man. Now, before we proceed, did anybody tell me where that scripture is offhand? There's a reason for that, because there is no such scripture in the Bible. Now, that's one of those things that, we think, well, take it for granted. Well, it says, trust no man. And some people actually quote it and make major decisions based on this scripture that does not exist. I put it in my Bible program, and it's got zillions of translations and commentaries and everything, and I've typed in trust no man. It goes through everything, and there's no such scripture in any translation that I'm aware of. Yeah, but it says something like that, right? Well, yeah, it says something like that, but is it the case that if you trust God, you cannot or should not trust a man? Is it a case that if you're trusting man, that you must not be trusting God? These seem to be some of the conclusions people come to. Or is this a case of both rather than either or? You can trust God and you can trust man. First of all, let's look at the obvious admonition in the scripture. The obvious admonition in the scripture when you talk about trusting is that we trust God. God tells us that we can and should trust him. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. We'll look at a few of these psalms that talk about the fact that God expects us to trust him. Psalm chapter 119. In verse 138, it says, the statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. God's word is fully trustworthy. The things God tells us to do and how to live, they are trustworthy. Psalm chapter 56, verse 11. Psalm 56, verse 11. The psalmist here is saying, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And so whatever happens, we realize we can trust God that things will turn out the way they're supposed to turn out when we put ourselves in his hands. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 4. Verse 4 says, blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud or such as turn aside to lies. So it says, trust God who is trustworthy, and don't trust man who, and especially those who turn aside to lies. It's interesting that a lot of the trust no man folks will quote, trust no man in responding to gossip. Oh, I heard this on the internet, and from a good source, I heard that this person has done such and such. And so trust no man because that person's untrustworthy. But they believe the source, and they trust the source of that, that they're telling the truth about this other person. So it kind of gets a little backwards. They said on the internet, and I trust that it's true if it's on the internet. Now, Satan would have us go to extremes. Satan would have us to believe everything that's out there, or he would have us to not believe anybody. And just say, I don't trust anybody, or I believe everything, and both are wrong extremes. 2 Kings chapter 18. Satan would prefer even that we stop trusting in God. And he would like to get our concept of trust so mixed up that we wouldn't even trust God and what God says. And actually, he started there with the whole thing. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. As the New International Version says, do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. Oh, you can't trust what Hezekiah says when he's saying trust in God. And they tried to get them to not believe and trust in God. And that's, again, where Satan started, back in the garden, when God says, don't eat of every tree. You can't eat of every tree except for the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And if you eat of that, you're in trouble. And Satan says, has God said that? Well, you can't trust what he says. You know, in fact, try it and you'll see. You can't trust God. And he started putting doubts about God in people's minds from the very beginning. And that's where Satan wants us to be, is not trusting God. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, Isaiah 31 and verse 1, and as you examine some of these scriptures talking about trust, trusting God, trusting man, we begin to see the whole picture of what this subject of trusting man and or trusting God is. Isaiah 31 verse 1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen. This is talking about placing an undue trust in human beings. And then it goes on to say, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. This is showing an extreme of saying, well, I can't trust God, but I can trust men. And this is a situation sometimes that we get into. Scientists will tell you, trust us, trust our theory, but don't trust God. You know, scientists, I like to watch some of these TED things. You know, you ever watch those TED, Today's Education, whatever. There's some really good things on there, and sometimes about, especially when it gets into science and the universe and all that type of thing, and they give these short lectures, less than 20 minutes. This one, this scientist was saying, I've put my whole life into developing this telescope that actually we are on the cusp of developing, where we send this telescope up and it reflects back, and the bottom line is that, you know, when you look, if I were standing in front of this window, the glow behind me, you wouldn't be able to see anything behind me because of that glow. And he says that's what happens when we, with a telescope, look up and we see this star, and that star is actually, because it's bright, it's hiding the things behind it. Okay, so the telescope we're developing is going to send, it's going to go way up in there, and it's somehow going to block out the sun, the rays from that, so we can see more. And he says, and then we will be able to be close to discovering how we got here. We'll be able to look at the origins of the universe because we'll be able to see more. You know, and then in the process, they're saying, oh, you know, and that a long time ago, we thought that star was a star, and actually it's an entire galaxy. And they're always coming up with these things that just boggles their mind. And they say, we really don't know what's going on, but we're so smart, we're going to be able to see the origins of the universe and how we got here. Now, you could come up to that person and say, you know, you could save a lot of time and effort because I know how we got here. God created us. You are so stupid. You know, you think, you can't believe in God. We're trying to find out the origins of the universe. We have no clue, really. But believe us, we know that it wasn't created. That's just one example of how, you know, you look to man. God, they will come up with the answers. We're so smart, but don't trust God. You know, you've seen these in the classroom when they're teaching creation, and these scientists will get so indignant and say, if you want to expose your children to creation, that's up to you, but at least let them know the truth about evolution, you know, if you want to remain ignorant. It's just in society, and this just reminds me of this. Woe to those that go to Egypt for help, rely on horses, trust the multitude of horsemen, our own wisdom and our own strength, but don't look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from him. Well, let's examine a few of the scriptures that do indicate maybe we shouldn't trust man at all. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Or you can just listen, because by the time you find Micah, the sermon might be over. But Hosea, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 7 and verse 5. Unless you're on the computer or your tablet or your phone, and then you've already found it. But if you're still using a scroll, Micah 7 verse 5 says, do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even her who lies in your own embrace. Be careful with your words. Okay, so there it is. Trust no man, right? Now, if this is so, where it says don't put your trust in a neighbor, no confidence in a friend, even your wife, then Micah 7 verse 2 is also true. If you're just taking it in its own context, the New Living Translation of Micah 7 verse 2 says, the godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. They are all murderers, setting traps even for their own brothers. Now, do you believe that this is speaking of the entire world in general, including you? That the godly people have all disappeared. No, there are godly people. It says not one honest person is left on the earth. That's not true. There are many honest people left on the earth, and you are among them. I believe. I hope and trust that. I really do. Are they all murderers setting traps for their brethren? If you're looking at the context of this, it's speaking about a people who have rejected God. And it's not talking about every person on earth through all ages, but in a situation where people have rejected God. This context could probably be fairly safely said in a prison situation, that you don't really want to trust the neighbor in the next cell because they're here for a reason. It's not that there aren't some innocent people or people who have changed in prison. But I'm just saying, if you look at a context, it's saying be very careful about those around you who are rejecting God, who don't have any morals, who don't have any values. It's not saying there are no people with values in the world. The rest of the Bible belies that, because there are people who you can and should trust. I'll just quote here Psalm 146 verse 3. Psalm 146, verse 3 says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save." Now, if you're putting this in the context of trying to put your faith in an individual who can save you, that's true. No man except Jesus Christ can save you. But to say, trust no man, don't put your faith in anybody. Anybody ever ride on an airplane? Okay? When you got on that airplane, you put your faith and trust in that pilot, that he or she had had training, that he or she knew how to do it and what to do, and that their goal was to get you safely to your destination. That's trusting an individual. Some of you are blessed enough to have found a mechanic you can trust. And maybe it took a long time before you found one you could trust. Unless you do your own, hopefully. But you find a mechanic that you know he's not going to charge you more than he should and rack up all kinds of charges. So you turn your car over to the person and trust that they will only do what they need to. I think Peter works on your car, you could do that, and you would trust him that he's not going to just charge you an arm and a leg. Like the guy that the mechanic's place I thought I could trust a couple of years ago, I'd take my cars to him. They changed personnel. And this was about 100,000 miles ago. They told me I needed brand new struts all the way around. And for only $1,600, I'd replace all my struts on my Honda. Like I say, that's been over 100,000 miles ago, and they still don't need replacing. But if you find someone you can trust, you trust them. We do trust people. Jeremiah chapter 9. Again, so, you know, if a person says, Bible says, trust no man, so I'm not going to trust anybody. Is that what God wants us to believe? And is that how he wants us to act and to respond to one another? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4. It says, "Beware of your friends. Do not trust your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer." Do you believe that about the people that are sitting next to you? I hope not. Otherwise, go somewhere where you can trust them. I trust you people. Do I believe you're perfect? No. Is that what's necessary in order to trust? No. Again, let's take the context and ask, does this context describe, say, your brothers in the church, or even a good neighbor? A lot of you have some very good neighbors or people you work with, and you trust those around you. Jeremiah 9, verse 3, it says, "My people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth, and they only go from bad to worse. They don't know me." I know a lot of you, you stood up for the truth. You've lost jobs because of it, been persecuted because of it, because you're going to do what God says. So this doesn't describe every person in the world, does it? Verse 4, "Beware of your neighbor. Don't even trust your brother. For brother takes advantage of brother, and friend slanders friend." Verse 5, "They all fool and defraud each other. No one tells the truth. With practiced tongues they tell lies. They wear themselves out with all their sinning. They pile up lie on lie and utterly refuse to acknowledge me." Again, this might be better described in a prison setting or with Israel, who had rejected God and pretty much they had turned their backs on him, a lot like the world in general is doing on God. And it's saying, when people are in that situation, be very careful when they refuse to acknowledge God. Now, with these warnings, again, some have decided you should never trust man, only God. Now, when a person says, "I won't trust any man, it's just me and God," who else are you trusting? Yourself, okay, because it's just me and God. I'm the only person I can trust in the whole world. But then the Bible says, don't even trust you. Well, the Bible does say don't trust yourself. That's our next point. There is another warning about trust, and that is not to trust ourselves. Proverbs chapter 3. We should always be a little questioning of, you know, our motives, of our righteousness, of what we're doing, and comparing it to God's way. And Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Again, this is putting God first, and when you put your trust in God and you look at his word and you do things according to his word, then be assured that you will be blessed for following God's way. Okay, you've got it down, you're doing what you're doing because God says to do it. Okay, that's good. But when we begin to trust our own selves, then we get in trouble. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. But don't you find yourself questioning yourself as to whether, is this really what I ought to be doing? Is this really how I ought to be thinking? Well, it's good to question ourselves and then weigh it against God's ways. And if we're doing the right things, then keep on doing that. Proverbs chapter 12 and or 28, verse 26, English Standard Version, says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Now, I'm just reading the scripture. We begin to trust our own mind about how good we are, rely on ourselves, then he calls us a fool. If we trust God and his way. And then it says, but, on the other hand, he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And so we need to think according to wisdom and say, is this wisdom? Is the way I'm thinking right? Is it sound? Is it solid? And going act according to wisdom. So we can trust even ourselves with wisdom. We can trust people with wisdom. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. Isaiah 47, verse 10. And this gets in again to the trust no man people that are really into it and say, I won't be part of any religion or anything because I can't trust anybody. They fall into this category. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Well, it's explaining it. It says if you're just relying on yourself, if you're relying on another person, another individual for your strength and your guidance and your help, and that's it, and you turn away from the Lord, then you fall into this category of being cursed, and you're not making a wise decision. Verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Again, back to trusting God and then having the wisdom to discern whether others are trusting God also and what direction they give and the help they give is godly. Now, with all that, there's also an admonition, though, to trust trustworthy people. Exodus chapter 14. I think we're seeing that to just take the statement, trust no man, is not taking in the context of all of the scripture and the principles there. And it becomes an unwise decision to trust no one. Not even, remember the scripture said, not even the wife that lies next to you, don't trust her. Should we be suspicious of our mates all the time and never have love and trust? It's not godly, is it? Exodus chapter 14, verse 31 says, and when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, notice what it says, and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. Oh, God says, okay, I want you to trust me. I also want you to trust Moses. In fact, if you look at chapter 19 and verse 9. Chapter 19 and verse 9, when God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, he said, you take these out to the people. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and always put their trust in you. Oh, God specifically said, I want people to trust you. Now, was Moses 100% trustworthy in his life? No. He made mistakes. He had his faults. But did God say, you know, only trust Moses if he's perfect? Does God say only to trust your mate or whatever if they're perfect? No, because nobody's perfect. We understand that. But does that mean we just always hold that against, never forgive? I don't think that's what God is after. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Even when Moses' father-in-law came to him and said, Moses, you're just taking too much on yourself. You know, you got people lined up to be judged. You need to reorganize a little bit and to put some of the job of judging the people on other people. You need help. In Exodus 18:21, it says, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. Appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. So you've got Moses, you're trustworthy. I want people to trust in you, but I also want them to trust other people who are trustworthy. And you find people who are trustworthy because there are people who are trustworthy. I mean, in this audience, I think I would trust every one of you. There are people that, you know, Dixie takes care of some of the money from the, well, basically offerings, but the only money we've got. I never think at all about it. She just does the job and fully trustworthy, 100% trust her. You know, setting up the hall and things like that, although sometimes I wonder about opening that lock, but, people are going to do their jobs. We trust one another, and we should, because there are trustworthy people, and that's a godly trait. You know, even Jesus in a prophecy, the Psalm 41 verse 9 says, yes, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And this was a prophecy about Judas, who was in his midst. And well, he was working with Jesus Christ for those 3.5 years. He trusted him. Even though, when you look back, he was taken from the till. But he gave him a certain amount of trust, even knowing that he would betray him at some time. Let's look at a few Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13. And as you go through other Proverbs here, and there are warnings against don't trust untrustworthy people. You got to be wise. You don't want to just trust every person and then get taken advantage of, because that's stupidity. But on the other hand, to suspect everybody and never trust anybody. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. There are people that, you know, you can talk to and say, I just need to talk about this, and I don't want it spread around, and you know it's not going to be spread around. There are other people you wouldn't think of saying anything to because you know that everybody's going to know about it. And so you have to discern and to trust with knowledge and trust with wisdom. Again, there is such thing as a trustworthy man and woman. Proverbs 27, verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, we have to properly discern and have wisdom, and sometimes we think, well, you betrayed me. I mean, you told me this thing about me, or you said something that hurt me, and you think about it, well, the purpose was to help with this. And it's a wound, but if you're a good friend and you know that they're doing it for the right reasons, then the wound, the thing that hurt, is actually, it's a good thing. And you can trust that they're doing it for your good, even though it doesn't feel good for the moment. An enemy multiplies kisses. You know, it's like, oh, you're so wonderful and everything's so great, and you'll never say anything to help the person. Well, that's not a trustworthy person. When we love one another and we can say something that's going to be helpful, you can trust that they're going to do it for the right reasons, it actually brings you together. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 11. And we won't have to turn over there, but the Proverbs 31 woman, right? And it says of her, it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. You know, that one scripture says, oh, even the woman that lies next to you, you know, don't trust. Well, we talked about the context of that. We're talking about a nation who's gone astray and everybody's turning their back on God. Here it says that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. So we should be able to trust our mates. We should be able to confide in them and talk with them and be safe with them. I'll just quote it, but 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, love always protects and always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now that word trust, when it says love always trusts, is to believe, to commit, to put trust with. Now it's not that we can't be burned on occasion, because we are. And people make mistakes, people sin. But to again not forgive and to hold that against the person forever is not love. No, love forgives, love works with, love sees things through when there are difficulties. But trust is important to have in those you love. And how can we love with a trust no man philosophy when it says love always protects, always trusts and hopes and is trustworthy? You know, God put trust in his servants. Paul, in a couple of places, he says, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. God says, okay, Paul, the apostles, I'm sending you on a job, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I'm trusting that you will do it. Also says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, it says. So God trusted Paul specifically here. You could say the same thing of the other apostles. If God trusts, shouldn't we? So I think it's clear that we're to trust God first under all circumstances. God's always trustworthy. Trust God first. We've got to be cautious in our trust of people, because we can't get burned, because not all people are trustworthy. We shouldn't be foolish in giving our trust to certain people. I think it's clear also that we must be careful not to trust in ourselves and make ourselves the one who knows everything. I'll be leery of our own judgment sometimes, but then when we're doing the right thing in a godly manner, trust that. We see that certain people can be trusted. In fact, certain people must be trusted. God has put us together, and trust is a godly trait. That's what Christ did. It's not a simple matter of either you trust God or man. You trust God and trust the Moses among us who can be trusted. If it's a choice between trusting God and trusting man, it's not a choice. Psalm chapter 118, verse 8 said, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, if it becomes a choice. It was trusting God and man, because man is doing the right thing and obeying godly principles, and trust is fine. Peter and the other apostles said we must obey God rather than man. If it becomes a choice of one or the other, God, of course, is first. But it doesn't say that we should never trust a man. Like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. So you never trust a man above God. You can trust another human being who are following godly principles. You know, whether they know God or not, if you're following certain biblical principles, you're a trustworthy person. There's an advertisement I heard yesterday. There's a transmission shop that's been around since 1972. I think the guy started this shop. And he says, here's his ad. He says, I was in Cub Scouts, and when I was in Cub Scouts, they taught me good, honest principles. And then I went into Boy Scouts, and I kept those principles, and I was taught that by my parents, and I've been a trustworthy person, and then I started my transmission shop in 1972, and we're listed as only two transmission shops in the whole Phoenix area that are, you know, 100% trustworthy and so forth. Okay, that's good. Following biblical principles. I don't know if he believes in God or not. But if you're following biblical principles, you can try. I could probably take my transmission there and be trust the guy. Hebrews 13, verse 17. We talk about spiritual things. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. And then there are certain things we have to do on your job. You have to trust your employers to at least a great degree. In the church, you have to trust certain things. Just like those of you that show up and trust that people that came before you have set things up like they do. And you do your job and they trust you. It's okay. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I'll ask the question, would God be planning to make us his children and make us rulers in the kingdom if he did not trust us? We'll close with Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Now we are the first fruits of God's plan. We've got Pentecost coming up here that emphasizes us being the first fruits of his plan. It'll be changed to spirit being at the moment, the twinkling of an eye at the return of Christ. And then we'll be given jobs to do. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted in very little can be trusted with much. We must be able to be trusted. And if we, in this life, are trustworthy, then it says, whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. If you're untrustworthy, that shows that. Verse 11, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling the worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? But if you have been trustworthy, if you are a trustworthy person, God says, that person I can deal with. That person I can give jobs to. Luke chapter 19, verse 17. This is what we're looking for. And as a result of being trustworthy people, and if there are other trustworthy people, should God trust them? Shouldn't we? Luke 19, 17 says, well done, my good servant, the master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities. We should be able to be trusted. We should trust those who are trustworthy and be cautious and use wisdom about trusting people who are untrustworthy. So we must first trust God, have the wisdom to follow and trust men and women as they follow Christ, and as their lead is not in conflict with anything that God says. So it's clearly a case of trusting God and trusting man with wisdom.